Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and also to understand the prophecies of the end time. As we look at the different description in the Bible concerning the end times, which we will examine in more detail as we go along in Matthew 24, we have come to the point and we need to ask the question, what is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet? Now, a lot of people think that this was the time during Antiochus Epiphanes in the 2nd century B.C. when he offered swine's blood on the altar. And then the Maccabean revolt took place, and they got rid of the Gentiles, cleansed the temple, and actually it was 1150 days to the very day from the time that the swine's blood was offered on the altar and the swine's blood sprinkled around the altar and the cleansing of the temple. Now, that was a foretype of the abomination that makes desolate. However, the swine's blood and the swine were offered on the altar of burnt offering. This says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Now, in Matthew 24, we read the parenthetical statement, the one who reads, let him understand. Now, why was that put in there? Who put that in there? Well, you have to dig deep into history and into the Bible to understand it. Let's answer the question, who put in that parenthetical statement? Because Jesus didn't speak that when he was giving the information here in Matthew 24, prophesying about the events that would take place at the end. Now, why was that put in? Well, first of all, we know this. The Apostle John and Andrew and his brother Philip and other elders of the church were in Ephesus when John came back from the exile on the Isle of Patmos, and they finished editing and compiling the New Testament in about 98 to 99 A.D., and it's apparent that they put this statement in, the one who reads, let him understand, from this point of view. 30 A.D., Jesus was crucified. The gospel was preached for 40 years before the destruction of the temple. And Jesus talked about the destruction of the temple right at the beginning because he said, you see these stones, that is all the stones in which the temple was built, the temple itself. There shall not be left here one stone standing upon another. And in 70 A.D., when Jerusalem was conquered and the temple captured, it was set afire, and to get the gold, all the Roman soldiers under Titus were removing the rocks to get all of the gold. So all of those stones were thrown down. Now, it's important to understand that the only place that there is an area called the holy place is in the temple, and that is the Holy of Holies. Now, when John was compiling and finalizing the New Testament, they knew that there was no abomination of desolation that stood in the holy place before the temple was destroyed. And John also knew, because of the prophecy that Jesus gave him, the vision back here in Revelation 11. So let's go back to Revelation 11 and let's see the prophecy that John was given concerning the temple. So if John was given a prophecy concerning the temple, what does this tell us? Because he could look backward in time from 97-98 A.D. back to 66 to 70 A.D. with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and they saw that there was no abomination that made desolate stand in the holy place before the temple was destroyed. So now here in Revelation 11, we find something very interesting that is given to us. And let's read the vision here that the angel told John to do. Now, this is an end time revelation because it ends up with the two witnesses then who are killed and then resurrected. That didn't happen either. That has not happened. So here's a future prophecy concerning a temple at the end time. Revelation 11 and verse 1. Then the angel gave me a measuring rod like a staff, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it, but leave out the court that is within the temple area, and do not measure it, because it has been given up to the Gentiles, and they shall trample upon the holy city 42 months. Now here we have a specific time period of 42 months, which then is 3.5 years given to us in the measurement of months. So rise and measure the temple. What does this tell us, combined with Matthew 24? That since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, there must be another temple built before the return of Christ. Now, if you'd like to do a Google search and find some information, go online and look up Temple Institute. And you will see that, yes, the Jews are preparing to build a temple. And they're going to build the temple in the same place that it was built before. And that was not the where the Mosque of Omar is. Because you look at the Mosque of Omar and you look at the Wailing Wall, and what do you see? You see huge stones still stacked upon another. That's not where the temple was, because Jesus said all those stones would be taken down and not one standing upon another. And then when you go back in history and you look where the actual temple was built, it was built in a location south of where the Mosque of Omar is today. And the area that is called the Temple Mount in the days of Jesus and the apostles was actually Fort Antonio. That was Roman property. Where the temple was south of it, where the Gihon Spring was. So that's where the temple is going to be rebuilt. Now, this will be an accommodation that can be made by the Muslims and by the Jews. A lot of Jews think, well, we're going to have to go in and destroy the Mosque of Omar. And some have said, well, God is going to raise an earthquake and destroy it. Then we can build a temple. Well, everyone knows, even the Jews today, that if they started to build a temple on the area where the Mosque of Omar is in Jerusalem, that there would be 100 million Muslims coming in to exterminate all the Jews at any cost, because they think that's the holy place where Muhammad ascended to heaven. So if the Jews say, well, no, we're not going to build it there because now we understand that the area south of that Fort Antonio area is where the temple was, then the temple will be rebuilt. So there has to be a temple. So we have the abomination of desolation. That's what we are to look for. But it requires a temple, doesn't it? Yes. And it's something that is going to stand in the holy place. Now, what is that? We have to go to other scriptures to understand it. So we know there has to be a temple built. We know that there has to be at terms of peace for a while in order to do it. And we find the prophecy of this back beginning in Daniel, the 9th chapter. So let's go back to Daniel 9, and let's see that time frame at the end so we can understand that the temple must be rebuilt, and then the sacrifices must be reinstituted in order for them to be stopped. This has to do with the 70 weeks prophecy, We're not going to go through and explain the whole 70 weeks prophecy. That's too detailed. We'll save that for another time, and we have a book coming, The Appointed Times of the Messiah, which will explain all of that. But when we come to Daniel, the 9th chapter, we find that the 70th week of the 70 weeks prophecy is separate. Now, a week is 7 days. And a day in prophecy is a year. So we have a 7-year period. Let's pick it up with the crucifixion of Christ. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Now, we'll explain that in different prophecies. But the Hebrew shows that it's after 62 weeks, and then there is a long pause in time until the end, or the 70th week, because there were 7 weeks for 49 years for the building of the city of Jerusalem, and then we had 62 weeks until the coming of the Messiah. Then after 62 weeks, he was cut off for himself. That's when Jesus was crucified. Now at the end, let's read what we're told here in Daniel. And the people of the prince, or the prince of the people, now this is talking about, as we will see later, the great man of sin at the end time. And the prince of the people who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, showing that the sanctuary, the temple, would be built. But his end shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now here's how he's going to come in. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now this is the covenant where they cry, peace, peace. So just before we get into the last 7-year period, there's going to come a time where they're talking about peace. There will come a world solution, as we will see, through a world government, and we'll talk about that when we get to the book of Revelation. And then we will see that it not only comes down to a world government, but it comes down to a world leader. And then we will put together all of these facts with the abomination that makes desolate. But notice what he does. In the midst of the week, or at the end of 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease. Cut off the sacrifices. So in order for them to be cut off, they have to be reinstituted when they rebuild the temple. So there is a temple that is coming in Jerusalem. Now, as we look at the world scene, we can understand this. Yes, there are many preparations being made by the Jews to rebuild the temple, but they haven't started it yet. And when it's finished, there will be a 7-year period, and that is all, before the return of Christ. Now, we don't know exactly when that is going to be. The Bible does not tell us. But we do have this time frame. Then an event is going to come where, as we will see, the prince of the people will be the leader of the world, of a world government, who will come in and stop the sacrifices. And upon the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate, even unto the consummation, that is, unto the end of the age. And isn't that what we read in Matthew 24? And what will be the sign of the completion of the age? All right. So we have that 7-year time period. Now let's come to Daniel chapter 11. And let's see where it talks about at the time of the end. This will be a key for us to understand how these events will come together. Because remember, there has to be a temple before there is the abomination that makes desolate. And there has to be the coming world ruler ruling before any of those events can take place. And once there is the world ruler who is called the beast, is ruling, then there's going to be an event which will trigger right up to the beginning of the tribulation. So right here in Daniel 11 and verse 40. Now this also shows us that there is going to be a time when there will be a king of the south and the king of the north. So we look on the world scene. They're not there yet. But the stage is being set. So let's read it, verse 40. And at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him, which is the king of the north. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, with horsemen, many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and sweep through. So this is time of sudden war. Now let's talk about the king of the north and the king of the south. In relationship to Jerusalem, we're talking about Europe, and Europe is going to become a power center in the coming world government. And all the events that we see taking place in contemporary things developing right now are leading up to that time. Now, it's not imminent that the king of the north is going to take over. But events will transpire where he will. And he will initiate worldwide peace, and he will rule for 7 years. What is the one peace that has always eluded the whole world in recent times, since 1948? Peace between the Jews and the Arabs, right? How many times has that been tried and failed? Why has it failed? Because, in prophecy, it's not time for it to happen yet. So there will come a time when the Arab nations will be unified under a king of the south. And they are going to provoke and launch some kind of attack against Europe and the king of the north. So he's going to come in a whirlwind retaliation against the king of the south. Now let's see what he does. Verse 41, he shall also enter into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. Okay, he's going to enter into what is called the Holy Land. And what is going to be there in Jerusalem? A temple. What is going on at the temple at that time? Sacrifices. So he's going to have to go in and stop those sacrifices, which he will. Let's read what he's going to do. Verse 42. He shall stretch out his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. The Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his steps. So he's going to go down to Jerusalem. Now something else is going to happen. Now we will see what that is. Down here, verse 44, it says, tidings out of the east and the north shall alarm him. Okay, that's a little bit further down the road. All right, let's see what is going to happen. Let's come back to Revelation 13, because Revelation 13 picks up with a world government in prophecy. And we're going to find that this world government will produce one great leader who will be the king of the north. Let's see what he does, and then we will put together some of the other prophecies so that we understand exactly what the abomination that makes desolate really is. Because not only does he cut off the sacrifices as we saw, but he's going to do something else. Now, you may need to have our series, Daniel in Revelation. Now, that's a long extended series with many sermons putting all of these things together, answering many more questions than we're able to answer here on Church at Home. So you can download that from cbcg.org. And we have some charts which explain certain things in the time sequence in relationship to the last 7 years. So here it shows the development of it. Just like you look on the world scene today, what is happening? Why are all the nations in the turmoil that they are in? What is going to happen with all of the financial insecurity and threatened bankruptcy of the whole world? How is there going to be a world government instituted? Well, you go online. We have some sermons there showing what is happening, prophecy being fulfilled right now. Look at the letters that I have written showing the events that are going to take place, and you will see that we're getting very, very, very close to that time. I'll just summarize it by saying here, all the financial crises in the world is going to come together with one great, gigantic collapse. And out of that, then, will arise this world government. And out of that will arise the mark of the beast. So I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that gives you a clue as to where we're headed in this. Now, Revelation 13, we see a powerful event take place. Here's a rising of a beast. And a beast in the book of Daniel is a kingdom. And this kingdom is different than any other kingdom. It's described here. Verse 1, and I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads the name of blasphemy. So here's a system, a worldwide system, then which is going to have 7 strong nations putting in with it, plus 10 others. Verse 2. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. The dragon is Satan the devil. This comes directly from Satan the devil. So here comes a world power, a world government, a world leader. Let's see what kind of world leader that this is. And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death. So here's a major ruler who suffers a deadly wound. But his deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. This is a worldwide event. And what have we heard for the last how many years? Oh, we need a world government. We need a world government. What have we heard recently with the financial problems that the world is having? It's affecting every nation. Oh, we need a world currency. We need a world bank. We need to get rid of the dollar. All of those things are preludes leading up to the establishment of this coming one world government. And it's going to have power. But notice what's going to happen in the world. And this is why you need to understand what is happening, because as I wrote in the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which the world is going to be swept with the occult. And out of that is going to rise a great leader. And this is what we're talking about right here. And they're all going to worship Satan the devil. So now's the time you need to begin to ask the question, whose side am I on? Am I on God's side? And how did I get there if I'm not? Or am I on the world's side as led by Satan the devil? And you're going to end up worshiping the devil. Think of that. What kind of an occult deception is this going to be? The greatest deception that has ever been in the history of the world. And all of this leads up to the beginning of the Great Tribulation. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. I hope you've been able to follow with these prophecies and understand it. We'll clarify it as we go along, and then we will answer the question, what is the abomination that makes desolate, that stands in the holy place? So be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, download our series on prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, and there you can put together the whole picture in great detail. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.